Welcome to episode 98 of The Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, hordes, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Iron Agenda, the podcast that oversleeps on recording day. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Jason. And I'm tired.
What time did you get up, Jason?
11.
10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago.
15 minutes ago.
I don't know why I overslept. It was necessary.
Gen Con took that much out of you?
Took you
a week to get over it?
It was the ogres. They've been taking it out of me. I was playing Fantasy last night, and that's what I was doing. But I even got to bed early. But yeah, Gen Con was, my sleep schedule was so messed up this week. I was like dying to wake up every day as I was only getting like 3 hours of sleep at Gen Con. So, But it was worth it because Gen Con was sweet and it was a lot of fun.
Very nice.
Yes, it was.
We met so many awesome people and just had such a great time. It was just excellent.
Yeah. Well, so you want to start at the top, just the new things we saw, the models, and we can get into the people and whatnot?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So what was new?
Well, we can start with the character jacks.
Yeah, that was the big thing. A new character jack for the main five factions and War Machine.
How random. Like, they didn't tell us about that.
That's kind of a cool surprise.
That's a great surprise. And that's a really cool idea, and I personally think a really great thing for, like, local retailers and stuff. While I like having new sculpts and stuff, having, you know, using less space to create more jacks and still being able to use product. Like, maybe people bought jacks, you know, plastic jacks like retailers did, and maybe they're not moving as much now because everyone has what they want. Well, now there's another reason for that to move, keeping, you know, your stock moving. And I think that's great just from, you know, a local game store point of view.
There's a lot of times I've heard people say, oh, well, I've got all the Slayers and Reapers I want, for example, and so why would I need another kit? Well, here's a reason, why.
Here's a great reason. Yeah, and these jacks are nasty. They're all good. I mean, even the ones I've been hating on, I think more and more about it, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think there's a bad one in the lot.
No, there's really not. And there's
the Protector one's horrible.
There's reasons to bring all of them. So, do you just want to do a brief overview of what they do?
Yep, sure.
Real quick? Okay, Dave, go ahead with yours.
Oh, okay. The Protector one is a Scourge of Heresy, and it's based off of Vanquisher, only it's not because it has no Flame Belcher.
And all the flames go into the sword, right?
Yeah, they're coming out of shoulders.
Yeah,
he's got redirected.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he has torches now on his shoulders. Actually, whenever I heard... I heard that there was a model called Torch. I thought it was that one.
It took me like 2 days to get my head around that.
Yeah. Instead of he keeps his Blazing Star, but instead of the Flame Belcher, he's got a POW 18 sword with continuous fire. So it's more or less Inferno Mace, except that the sword has purgation like Resnik, and it's not crit fire. It's always fire. On top of that, he's got Arcane Vortex like Kaylee, so he can spend focus and negate spells.
That's so stupid.
His imprint is Arcane Assassin, which anybody who's played against Retribution probably knows what that does. And he has Special Issue Resnik, which means he can go in Resnik's team forces and stuff like that and can bond to Resnik.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I don't think that's been clarified whether or not that means that he automatically starts with a bond or if it just means he can be bonded, kind of like how Kreos can bond the Fire of Salvation.
So yeah, we don't know if it allows DC, you to give you an extra focus.
No,
or
what DC has said has been overheard by someone who reported secondhand.
I know there's at least one thread up. I don't know if there was a resolution in the thread.
That wasn't last time I checked.
Okay, so we still don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean that'd be really wicked if you could, because I know that
I played Unbounded at Gen Con and nobody said played Torch Bounded with Sharkov.
Yeah, well, because that was what was said at that time.
Well, that was a turn of organization organizer. I wouldn't allow it based on the wording right now because like the bonds that, for example, Epic Fiora says Ajak in her battle group starts bonded.
Well, what's
it's
more
not
important
May.
Is that she has a bond with the Jack, and like you know, Jacks don't have bonds. You know, Jacks have affinities, if anything. So the fact that you know it's like essentially adding something to that caster's card.
No. The special issue rule enables the caster to be bonded to the Jack. It
Correct.
Does not actually facilitate
That's
that.
That's what
bond.
I'm saying. I'm saying that the bonds are something that the casters have, not the Jack.
Right.
So it'd be interesting if they did allow that. However, it is a good way to backdoor themselves into working after they've already created this Great Forces book.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've done that with because you can also add these jacks into all the theme forces, right?
Correct.
Except for Malice. But so that was another little backdoor.
What do you guys think of the Scourge?
Scourge is awesome. I've heard a lot of complaints because he doesn't have reach, which is fair. It's a fair assessment. I know Protectorate like their reach jacks and their faster jacks. He's also slow.
Yeah, speed 4, no reach. That is his big drawback.
However...
He's only 9 points.
He will finish, and I personally think Arcane Vortex is a lot better than people give it credit. You know,
so good.
Like you can,
it's a big bubble.
You look at spell assassination list and just lose. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. You can't even do anything.
The other thing is, if you have like other jacks near it, you can have your choir do no spells, and he can take care of the no or no, sorry, no shooting, and he can take care of no spells bit for a little bit. Mm-hmm. The only downside, the only way that, or the only reason it's not as good as it is on, for example, Haley, is Haley benefits from the armor until she spins it. This guy, you're taking the focus off your caster and kind of gambling that you may or may not need it.
But,
it is, I mean, that's, I'm not saying it's worthless. I'm just saying it's not as good as it being on a caster.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you look across the table and you see Denegra, and if you have a model in the unit, you know, within that many inches, isn't it model unit or
no? It's model.
Okay. Well, you have like your stuff, you know, around it, especially in like a mangled metal format. It's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've used Arcane Vortex to great effect with Haley, so I can only imagine how good it is there. Much less the fact that he has Arcane Assassin and Purgation, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's really cool. So if you have you know, a bunch of focus and say Arc Shield on you, not only is he getting extra dice, he's ignoring all of it.
It's pretty stupid.
As a Kador player, I understand what it's like to be slow and have not reach. So, I mean, I'm a fan of his.
He's been good with certain people. Like, I think Resnick, obviously, he's got some, because of like Purgation and Witch Hunter, mm-hmm. or Witch Hound, I'm sorry. He can, you know, move it around. I even think with Epic Fury, he'll be pretty decent because Escort gives it a speed 6 and still doesn't have reach, but speed 6 is a little bit more significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it causes fire.
Yeah, and it causes fire.
So, I mean, might as well, right?
Right. I do think that it's kind of cool that he kept Thresher. It's not Reach Thresher, so it's, you know, it's like the B team Thresher. But if someone swarms him and for some reason you don't want to or can't trample, it is a way to kind of, continue evening out the point disparity.
He's got a higher mat, right?
He's a mat 7, right?
Yeah, he is mat 7.
So that's nasty. So
effectively a 9 if you figure
choir. So that's sweet too.
Yeah, and I mean, with two melee weapons, he is a 20 and an 18.
Oof.
With the choir.
Redick. Malice.
Malice is the Crix guy. He's a Reaper-ish kind of dude. He actually doesn't pair up with any particular caster, so he's kind of the oddball. Imagine that, the oddball on Crix.
Interesting.
He lost his Reach Hell Driver for an exchange for an Open Fist, which is kind of a cool thing, you know. Open Fist are always good. And instead of the regular harpoon, he's got a PAL 14 grappler kind of thing. I think it's a harpoon. It has these little extra thingies on it. Yeah,
barbs.
They're barbed. There you go.
Well, most Open Fists are usually PAL plus strength 14. This one's higher, isn't it?
I think he might be a 16.
Yeah.
I think. So he's not bad at all, but he doesn't have reach. But that's okay, because he's just going to be dragging you in anyway into base to base.
He's going to use his stupid abilities.
He's got some awesome stupid abilities. He has Cull Soul, Ghost Shield, and I can't remember the ability that actually lets him...
He starts with one.
He does start with one. I can't remember what that's called, but that gives him the extra...
He starts with a soul
for free at the beginning of the game.
Every soul he has, he gets armor.
Yeah, that's the Ghost Shield. So he's going to start out armor 18 at the top of the game.
That's awesome.
And he's defense...
14, isn't he?
I want to say he's 14. He might be 13. I can't remember off the top of my head. But he's more or less a Reaper. Except he has an ability that is like Seduction, except it works on Jacks.
Let's talk about the Jack Factory.
The Jack Factory? Oh, so you mean by pulling in the other Jack, punching it to damage it, I've now seduced it, or whatever it's called. It walks around, turns its back to the Withershot Combine, who then swarm in and make me a new Jack.
Correct.
That's what it is.
Yeah, all you need is like Tartarus, pretty much. You just like do that, charge it with Tartarus, leave it on its last leg, Withershot Combine makes a Seether, or you know, whatever. And at that point, it's so far deep in your area, you can then move your Warcaster and just get it in your battle group.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're standing right next to it.
Just whatever you want, you know?
Boom, it's yours.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
it's very, very
Jack
cool.
Factory. It's stupid.
Is yanking a spare light and it got a little bit too close?
Spare light.
Is it CNC?
Anything. Jack you kill factory. A behemoth at that point.
Well, you still got to damage it. And then oftentimes when I try to do that, I roll like a 5. And but the cool thing is this. There's no reason why you can't give it a focus with a siren. And it gets 2 boosts in the same turn that way.
That's true.
So.
Pretty sweet.
Free shit. All around. I like it.
I like it too. And now the barb is higher, you're going to be damaging more.
It's about 14, not the 12. So yeah, you're much more likely to get that damage off.
On a heavy.
I need that choir UA that's no melee attacks on my jacks.
Well, just say no shooting. I can't range it in.
Yeah, but you could charge it.
I could. It is a speed 6. It's that chassis.
But yeah.
So that's really cool. Malice is sweet.
It's got a cool looking head too.
How many points is it?
Yes. That is 9
the
points.
The head is pretty sweet.
Are they all 9? No, Triumph is 11.
10 and 11.
10 and 11. Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, so what do you guys think? Malice is all right?
Thumbs up? Malice is great. I think that's going to be really freaking annoying.
He has these souls coming out of his back. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, I have a question about the Reaper. If you have Malice in between, does it stop when you hit Malice?
It's a pull. It's a push.
Okay, so it will.
Yeah. So, but you can drag it through rough terrain, no problem.
Sure.
Let's move on to the Insult Comic Warjack.
I was just going to say that Triumph, the Signarin Jack, is an awesome defender of death.
Or not.
I think I ragged on him a lot. I think he's a little better than I'm giving credit for.
The thing that threw me off at first, I was looking at him like, oh, cool, he's Sieges Defender.
What's he do?
He has Arcane Precision, so when he aims, He ignores stealth. He also has blaster, so he can spend a focus to make it an AoE. So he's got the built-in explosivo.
Yep.
And then he also has special issue to siege, so in esteem, fortune can be bonded or whatever. He is Mat 7 and Rat 7. Rat 7's pretty huge on a defender. That means he's Rat 9 when he's aiming.
And ignore stealth.
And he ignores stealth. 11 if there's a ranger nearby that model you're wanting to shoot.
Yep. That's pretty stupid.
It's pretty dumb.
I mean, you can just hit Denagra just by running a ranger.
He lost the hammer, and he's got some kind of assault shield. So that's a P plus S13.
And he gets up to arm 20.
That's gets nice. Him to arm 20. So he's very solid. He's 11 points, which is he's the most expensive.
I think, in my opinion, the biggest problem with him is the one caster I really don't want to run him with is Siege. Because all of the abilities he has, like, you have Mage Sight if you want to get rid of stealth.
Yep.
You have...
Siege already does all
that. I think he'd be so sick with Sloane. Oh,
I think Sloane's where he's at right now.
Sloane is where he's at. That's nasty.
I still think Siege is going to be fun with him, though.
I'm just surprised his gun wasn't augmented at all, like, as far as power.
Or, like, automatic granted magical or something like that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, or, like, yeah, a magical weapon.
Then you
yeah.
wouldn't have to cast Explosivo on it.
Sure, yeah, that's another thing. Explosivo is actually better than Blaster. But you do have to consider this. The Defender has a POW 15 gun. Meaning its blast damage is POW 8.
Eight.
So that's actually, good. There's no, I mean.
That's without, mortar blast damage.
Without, you know, Siege, because Siege obviously does all this better. That's why I'm kind of frustrated, because it's way better with other casters. But you have essentially a Destroyer, a range 16 AoE 3, that you can blow up dudes with. Sigmar doesn't have AoEs. I mean, the Grenadier. And then you've got, you know, they don't have sprays. So you're really, in my opinion, you like the idea of cleaning out some easy-to-kill infantry like Kyazis. That'll be great.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. That's sweet.
He's interesting. I do find it, as you were saying, interesting that he is the jack that you can use him with Siege, but I think you're gonna see him in a lot more other lists instead. Like even Cray. Haley or like, see, Cray can make huge benefit out of him.
I think Haley is actually really nasty.
It's Siege's jack, but Siege loans out all the time.
Pretty much. It's out on he's got some late fees coming from Sloane and Cray.
Dude, oh my god, Haley, I didn't even think about that. That's really
Haley's pretty
two
sick.
Shots, stand still, two shots, ignoring stealth. He just killed Denagra straight up. Just with that guy. Nasty.
So we got the Torch?
Torch. Oh, La Torch. I think he's really fun. When I first read him, I was really excited. Then I read everyone else's jacks and I kinda got down on him. But then after I read him more and more, every time I read him, I like him a little bit better. He's Mat 7 and Rat 5, which is so huge for Kador. I mean, everyone's character heavies from Apotheosis have high mat, except for
Behemoth.
Except the Behemoth. He was mat 5 in Mark 1, now he's only mat 6. So having mat 7 is so huge for Kador, because only Beast 09 and Drago have it, and having another mat 7 is really nice. Additionally, he's rat 5, and he's got a really fun gun, and that's really cool too. And because we don't have any Rat 5 jacks whatsoever.
No.
So this is really exciting for him. He's based off the Decimator, but just like the Scourge of Heresy, he took off his gun and he put a fist.
Juggernaut
fist with a punching spike and a flamethrower on it. So he's got the crit, or he's got the sustained attack saw at POW 18. Then his punching spike, which is an open fist that punches, is POW 16. Then he's got a flamethrower that's range 6, POW 12, auto fire attack. And it's only spray 6, but that's okay because he's a virtuoso gunfighter. So when he goes to make his initial attacks, he goes mat 7, you know, chainsaw, mat 7, you know, punch, and then rat 5, spray. And you can really kill some backfield solos with that. I'll be certainly happy to field this against Protectorate as I burn up the Vassal and Choir hanging out behind him. As long as you get the nice angle, you get the nice spray off, you can kill those guys dead pretty easily.
You're forgetting the fun part. He's immune to corrosion and fire damage.
He is, in fact, Strakovs, so he's got a nice little gas mask on. So he's immune to fire and corrosion, which is gigantic. Because
Legion says, I can't hurt you with
Legion
range
beasts,
attacks.
Reckoner especially, that guy has been known to, you know, put some holes in my Kador jacks. Completely immune to it. And as more
only
and more,
the ranged part of it.
Only the ranged part of it, but sure. But I mean, that's, you know, that's a punch that you're willing to take.
That's one element Kador doesn't, that jack in particular, doesn't have to deal with.
Another thing that I noticed this past weekend is, I never bring the Kodiak because I personally think he sucks, but having Relentless Charge, which this jack has, is going to be so big, because I've been sitting behind, because they play with so many walls at Gen Con. I'm like, oh my God, I can't get over these. That's why I was so happy to play Strakov, because my feet turn and everyone gets Pathfinder, so it was really fun. Or Karchev, for example. But so many walls, and having Relentless Charge is so great. He also has a 3-inch AoE cloud, which you can put on the table. Everyone's like, oh, it's kind of worthless. Well, I have a couple ideas with it. One of them being Strakov throwing the Cinder Bomb at him and putting a cloud down there. He's immune to the POW 14 because it's fire. And then another cloud. So you can actually have like two clouds side by side. Additionally, once again with Strakov, he has superiority. So you put that on him. Then you toss down the cloud and your defense 14 from range. And that's solid defense. So, I mean, there's a couple cool tricks with him. And I think he's really fun. Am I missing anything else on him? And he's bonded to Strakov.
We're right.
He has
that special issue
Strakov.
That's it.
Before we get to the Retribution one, I can talk about it afterwards. I was just going to talk about the special issue and how I thought that was kind of interesting. But
Beard did.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought it was an interesting way. I was always wondering, now that the theme forces are out, were they going to modify them and how? That's. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice little clever insert and pretty simple. Well, simple in execution, but, you know, rules questions aside, that's a neat way of putting them in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the Discordia.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Retribution players are pretty excited about him.
Carnivian that can hit stuff with its spray.
I'm excited for them. This guy is awesome.
He's pretty cool. I mean, a range 10 sprays have always been powerful. I don't think there is a Rat 6 range 10 spray. Pretty sure there's not.
Maybe Terminus is that, but I'm not sure.
Pure Blood,
pretty
isn't
sure.
It?
Nope, it's only Rat 5.
Oh, is he Rat 5? I thought he was
so 6. I'm pretty sure this is the first Rat 6 spray.
Magical weapon?
Magical weapon. POW 14. That's ridiculous. And additionally, I really like his imprint. It is within 2 or 3 inches.
3, I think.
It's either within 2 or 3. I don't mean to misquote, but Miles gain plus 2 armor and can't be affected by blast damage. You can park that guy next to your Mage Hunter Assassins, next to your Mage Hunter Strike Force, and just laugh, as there's just no way to kill them. Just ridiculous. Even if you can hit them with gun mages, you know, they still have, I mean, not if they're really high, but you have to roll pretty high to hit, and then you're rolling, you know, it's not an auto kill when you're shooting them, because I'm pretty sure they're armor 12, so it goes up to armor 14. I mean, you need to roll 5s. I mean, I've seen lots of 4s and 3s and 2s my past weekend, so I know that those exist on 2 dice. So he's really neat. He's also Matt 7, which is awesome.
He's
too.
Also Ronge Jack.
He's Ronge Jack.
Which is awesome.
Which is weird, though. I wouldn't imagine it being Ronge Jack.
You would have thought he would have gotten, like, some kind of special arc note or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something special. But I can see that because the aura that he emits is very
I also like that he's a Manticore variant. And what is it? Is he P plus F16 on his fist?
Yeah.
That's pretty good for them.
Yeah, he's at 2 16 fists. So
and combo strike.
And combo strike.
He does have
yeah.
combo strike?
I thought so.
I didn't think he
does. Maybe he doesn't.
I don't
They are
remember.
Also open fists, too.
Yeah, well, and that's huge, because then he can just...
Yeah, he's not bad in combat.
Yeah, they're basically...
normally they're only 14s.
It's mm-hmm. Carnivian melee weapons.
Yeah.
Which is sweet.
It's pretty good.
He's solid. And Matt 7 is always nice, and they haven't had Matt 7 yet, so...
Is he 9 points? 10 points?
10 points. 10 points.
So, he's very good. Worth it. Overall, I think the character checks are pretty good.
They're fine.
I like the, as Jason said, the whole... You know, and it opens up space later for if they do other plastic kits, which, after seeing these, I think you can
the next
assume
chassis.
That they might do that in the future.
Yeah, I think that...
That then they can do some characters for those and just, oh, here's a blister upgrade.
Well, but same token, we already have the light plastic kits. Who knows, maybe they'll come out with add-ons for those guys.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yep, that is very possible.
I hope not, because I have to buy a new one as opposed to maybe I want to turn one of my Revengers into my add-on Revenger. I mean, if it's not compatible with the metal thing, that would
well, it should
pain.
Be. I mean,
no, Dave,
but
you're going to get a vigilant
that's not the
character.
Point. The point is that
yeah,
you're supposed to be able to buy this. You're supposed to be able to buy this item, and with this, and do whatever you want with it. It's not for adding on to your old stuff.
I want Nemo to get a character Firefly.
That would be sweet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want Strakov to get my character light. I want Strakov, but anyway. Oh wait, we don't have one.
Yeah, we do. It's called Scrapjack.
It's already a character, and it's already with someone.
Scrapjack Mark II.
Whole.
Moving on.
What else?
Gunbjorn.
Gunbjorn. Cool.
How do you like him?
I played a couple games with him the other day. Did pretty well. I'm kind of disappointed in him. He's definitely the most vanilla caster of all time. Literally all time. He's the only caster that doesn't have a unique spell to him, other than old Prime ones, but those spells were unique to them at one time. So just the fact that they've bled out, you know, the spells doesn't make them not unique. He has no unique abilities, no unique spells. He has one ability other than tough. He doesn't have any magical weapons. He's run-of-the-mill stats.
I thought his gun was a magical weapon.
He has explosive.
He can make it magical.
He's a 15, 16, mat 6, rat 6, speed 6. He's got range 12, AoE 3, pow 14. The highlight of him is the critical devastation, which I actually killed Morgul on collateral damage straight up.
That's awesome.
Now, I don't know if this is how this works or not, but if he explosives himself, does it cancel crit devastation? Other stuff that he didn't directly hit?
I think it would. I think.
Because
you lose everything that isn't just straight damage. Yeah, I think that's correct.
I don't know. I haven't done that yet. However, so that's all he has. Those are his abilities. He's got POW 11 Axe. Very disappointing in melee. I'm kind of disappointed. And he's got four spells. He has Explosivo. He's got Rock Wall like Gordon. He's got Guided Fire, which is kind of his signature, even though it's Gray's signature spell. Kind of took it from him. Giving everyone boosted attack rolls in his battle group. And then he's got Snipe, which as of right now isn't very helpful. However, it's nice to be able to upkeep it for one, because we have the Impaler at cost 2, so that's nice.
It does also affect entire unit.
It does affect entire unit, which hopefully we get a nice gun unit in this book, and they'll be decent, and then that'll be able to help them out a lot. But he doesn't help a Snipe unit. He can't help them at all, other than sniping them.
It's nice to have an option where you don't always have to take an Impaler. I think that's what makes me like that. Like that
because
spell.
The critical is so good, and you get boosted attack rolls. Plus, you want to be able to toss Sniper, and you can only have Snipe the spell out once. But the Animus, you have
it lets you go a little bit further, I guess.
Yeah, well, Guided Fire. I mean, like all the beasts with crit effects.
Yeah, there's good ones. Crit Stationary on the Winter Troll, Crit Slam, Crit.
I think Winter Troll.
The Tongue Lash.
Yep, Consume. Mm-hmm.
I'm digging Winter Trolls and Blitzers with this guy.
Yeah, Blitzers are pretty insane. And also, it was leaked that apparently Jason Souls said that the Blitzers gun is apparently on Trolls. Those Trolls on that book cover.
Yeah, let's say we saw on the right-hand side, I thought they had little sluggers or something.
Yeah, they apparently have the same gun. I don't know how that'll work because it's D3 shots. I don't know if you just roll a fist full of D6s and make that many shots.
Could be.
But however, we'll find out, I suppose. But, he's cool. His feat is the most disappointing thing about him. It's a really bad feat. I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably the worst feat in the game. It's also not original either. Epic Makeda used to have a spell called Fortification. It was an AoE that you couldn't be knocked down, didn't take blast damage, and gain cover in.
But you were also immune to stationary while you were in it, too.
I don't know, but his isn't, because it's that same. It's called Fortification, and it's just his control area and does those things. So probably the most disappointing feat. Trolls don't need that. That's not what I need. I need to be killing things. It doesn't help him whatsoever. People are like, oh, well, you can go out in the open and get cover. But it's like, well, yeah, if I really needed cover, I would just throw it on a rock wall. If you would have given me a feat that said all of your guys gain +1 rat, that'd be way better than that feat. Mm-hmm. And that's the crappy feat. +1 rat's a crappy feat. But
yeah, I agree. It's he seems
not saying he can't win games. I'm not saying that. He's got, you know, great, you know, solid spell list.
I'm
undefeated
be
with him thus far. However, it's not fun. It doesn't seem exciting at all.
I can see that.
And he looks so cool. Everyone's like, oh my God, look at this troll, this giant gun. You know, they pointed out like the hand crank on the gun. It doesn't have any kind of rate of fire special abilities. It doesn't do anything. He just shoots things and that's it. Game becomes kind of static as well. So, whatever. Winter Troll, critical stationary, the Harbinger, behind a wall, and I shot the shit out of her.
That's awesome.
Yep.
All right, what else we got? Stinger? We saw him?
No, we already saw their stats. They were
Ravagor.
No quarter.
The Ravagor and the Spell Slaves are, yes.
Spell Slaves are pretty much like we anticipated. They're 1 point apiece.
Disposable Arc Nodes.
You arc through them, they die.
Ravagor is a Carnivian chassis with the spray replaced. It has no bite attack, and the spray is replaced with a range 14, POW 15 AoE. AoE 3. It is a Scather AoE. And it's a corrosion and fire damage type AoE. Yay, thank you, Privateer Press. And, its Animus is Dragon's Fire. It's a range 6 Animus, and then the target,
Beast.
Faction War Beast. Its range attacks cause fire. So
that is awesome.
You can put it on, for example, you can put it on Stingers if you want the little sprays to do it.
You can put it on Carnivian,
but,
big sprays.
Even better would be like, the Tariff, because it is another AoE.
Or itself, especially.
Itself as well. Also, with Epic Lilith, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be stupid, yeah. He's a great beast. Is he also Rat 5? Did he get a Rat?
No, he's Rat 4.
Okay. I didn't know if he was. He's really sweet. I like him, and his model's way better than I thought it was, so I'm happy with that.
But he's got that, and he's got all the standard abilities that the current enemy has. The
Eyesight, Pathfinder, Open Fist.
So
very cool.
And he has 10 points, so he's a little bit less than the current enemy.
I'm a fan of his.
Seems like he's just another option for Legion.
So yesterday we got our first tree model.
We did. Cassius the Oathkeeper and Wormwood.
And Tree Dude.
Tree Dude, yeah, but skulls hanging off him.
The Tree of Woe.
It's just a tree. Just I gotta imagine you just plant it AD in the beginning of the game and then it does whatever you want to. That's just my opinion.
It could.
I can't imagine it walking. That's just my thing. I don't know.
Digs up its roots and does a ding, ding, ding.
You do have really shifting cool. stones to teleport. So.
Yes, but that makes sense.
It does look really cool.
It does have runes on it, so maybe it like does teleport.
Really cool paint job on those models, too.
I really like the tree. I don't like the sculpt of the tree, but I thought the paint job was really cool.
Shifting stones, you could move them. They also got a
stone keeper
attachment. Yeah, right. we found what it does. It just extends their control range pretty much, right?
Yeah, I thought their command range. Yeah, that I thought there was something to do with stealth, and I think you can give them
extra
armor.
Yeah.
So now you can have this gigantic triangle that you can teleport shit in.
Yeah, it's a huge triangle, dude. That's awesome.
And then you pop in the middle, and all of a sudden they can't teleport anymore because they won't be in formation.
Yeah. He's very interesting. It's only 1 point, so whatever.
Yeah.
He's got POW 20, AOE 5.
Yeah, POW 20, that's right.
Oh, wait, no, that's something else.
No.
But yeah, he's cool. I like it. And the Wilder.
Wilder came out. She's a little Wilder.
Vomiting out new models every time.
Pretty much a shepherd.
Huh?
Pretty much a shepherd.
That can cast Animi.
Yeah, kind of. She's got the big hook, you know, it's the foolish, but yeah. And she can cast Animi, and she does.
As long as they're not self Animi, right?
Right, yeah.
Otherwise, Balder would be invincible.
I like the, I like a lot of the Animi in Circle. I think it'd be helpful. Just tossing like Sprint out. Is that self-animus?
Yeah, yes it is.
Then never mind.
I think.
Don't do that.
Tracker.
Pretty sure it is.
Flush of Clay.
Tracker.
Tracker would be kind of cool. Yeah, throw out that free Pathfinder. That's nice.
Yeah, so she's neat. I know I think she's a mana saver.
Oh, sure. Definitely, yeah.
More than the, troll one, which.
I didn't buy her, so I can't remember, but I think she has some sort of leeching or forcing ability, sort of like Beastmaster, but not quite, I think.
Yeah, she does.
So, something like that. That's all sorts of information that I don't know.
Cool. Good I think that's everything that was new. At Gen Con 2010.
That's right.
Welcome to Gen Con. So.
You guys see the pictures of the new stuff? Like, they had the Extreme Titan and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see that up close. Carl bought one.
It's pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet for a resin model. I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Scorn book is also excellent. Pick it up. It's out.
Great read.
It's a great read. I thought the fluff was excellent. That first battle, mm-hmm. so sweet.
I have one complaint about the display cases. This is kind of weird. You had to line up this year just to get into the booth to look around. And they've got all these nice painted models. They're supposed to entice people to look around and play the game and potentially mm-hmm. buy into it. But you have to wait in line just to even really go back and see them up close.
Well, that was the first day.
Yeah, usually at the very beginning of the first day, it's just a madhouse, yeah.
They sold out of so much stuff.
They sold out of all the upgrade kits,
and
they brought more in.
I lost all my models.
Hey, you lost Gunbjorn, and what was the other thing you lost?
What?
You lost Gunbjorn.
I lost a Torch, Gunbjorn, and Sorsha.
Oh, you lost a Sorsha.
I lost the new Sorsha model that came out, the metal one. So if anyone found those three, let me know. I'll give you a reward, but I'd like them.
Would have been Sunday evening in the mini sol.
Sunday. Yes, it was Sunday. I had them out. It's so weird, and now they're gone. But what have you? It's all right.
Okay. How about events?
Yeah. So let's see. Well, I guess the first thing that you guys played in stuff before the team event, right?
I played in the first two events, the 50 and the 35, and the 50 was a blast. I lost my very first game, and I just had a blast the entire time. I also lost to another guy, really awesome guy from Canada. He says he's a listener of our show, so I'm just giving you a shout out. I was playing Epic Butcher. He was playing Epic Kaya. And I Epic Butcher feeded and killed everything on the freaking table pretty much except for the things that really mattered was Epic Kaya and a World Watcher. And then they killed Butcher.
Oh.
It was awesome. It was this really fun game. We had a really good time. And then 35 point was good. I had a couple complaints, but nothing.
That was the triple threat, right? Where you had three lists and they had to play each one or something?
I think so.
Something like that.
No, it was Midnight Madness.
But it was something funky about it, I thought.
What did I do? What? Yeah, maybe it was. Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yep, it was. And I ended up losing in the third round. We just had a little rules debate, and I just let it go, and I took the loss. Karchev is, like, the worst ever at killing the Avatar, apparently. On my first attack, I missed, and my second attack, I rolled snakes to not break armor. So it really sucked. Yeah, but it's okay. It was a good game, and went on to do more things, and And then I took Thursday off, or Friday off, which Tim played in inventory.
I played in inventory.
That was a 75-pointer?
Yes.
How'd that go?
I loved it. There were people all around me like, I hate this point level. But what was nice about it, apparently like a ton of the people that were playing in the 35-point event were also registered for the 75-point, and they didn't show. So it like cut the number in half. I think we had 30 people total. So we ended up playing four rounds. And that was nice because it cut our time in half.
Yeah.
And I made everything, you know,
nice. It was like one more round pretty much. Right. Didn't have to play.
And I won my first two games, and then I ended up growing up against Matto from Springfield in the third round. And I have this bad luck where I end up going against them and end up just both times I've played them where it's mattered. It's like my dice rolls just tank on me and it's okay. Good game.
Yeah.
Well, we both had some funny stuff happen. Like I forgot to move my Dracoon in the first turn, which then he moved in Anastasia DeBray right in front of him, got countercharged. He forgot about that. So a horse kicked her in the face and killed her like turn one. It was crazy stuff. He left Roven out of command range once.
Yeah.
Like, oh wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny errors, and you guys just seem like you had a good time.
Yeah, and you know, I always like playing against him because he plays a different style of Protectorate than what we see up here, I think. And so I always feel like even when I lose, I'm coming away learning something, and we always are laughing and having a good time. So
good.
You know,
that's always
and me losing to him got him qualified for the finals on Sunday,
which
was disappointing because I, you know, that would have been awesome if we both would have made it, but. It is what it is. That was fun, though.
Is that the one that made you the alternate?
Yeah, that made me the first alternate, but everybody from our 75-point event was there, so it was like, no point anyway.
Well, you didn't even get up.
I didn't even get up that early. I was so tired. I was like, I don't care anymore, and it wasn't a big deal.
And then Hardcore was Saturday. That was a lot of fun. In my third round, I faced Watts, and we played really well. I thought it was probably the best game of War Machine I've played in a really long time, and I still ended up losing. I really couldn't, not to discount, how well he played. However, I couldn't connect with anything when, it was Beast 09, Dracoon, Great Bears, Fenris, and Spriggan couldn't kill any beasts in one turn. It was really disappointing. And then the next turn, he didn't really even kill that much, and they still failed to kill all of that stuff again. So it was kind of frustrating, but at the end of the game, I still got a crap ton of VPs from him. Somehow with my Strakov Assassination Hardcore Army, I had a crap ton of VPs. Then move on to the next round, win there. And I was like, oh, well, that's it. Because the way the format works is the top four players from each of the events gets to move on. And the top four in Hardcore included Jake and Chuck, both of them from Detroit. And both of them had qualified before. So what they do is they move on to the next person, next people down the list. And I was the best 3-1 out of everyone in Hardcore. So I was able to move on. So that was really nice. It was pretty good retribution for what I thought was, a pretty well-played game on both sides, but just really horrid dice rolls on my behalf, and it made me really happy to be able to get into the finals.
It was pretty nice. I was helping them run the Voltron event that day. It was interesting to see while that event was going on, I was kind of walking around and watching people play. There were a lot of nice armies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like the level, it just seems for Hardcore for painting, it just keeps getting higher and higher.
Well, Steamroller rules, the wording is a little more strict, and Hacksaw, he had to have people make a few substitutions to make everything, more on the level. So the painting requirement is definitely more strict than it used to be, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I mean, I heard a lot of people complaining on the boards and stuff about stuff like that, but I mean, people don't always get all the information.
Right.
Like, there was a big debate about one model for a really long time, and then someone's like, did anyone realize this didn't even have any basing except for paint?
Right.
So, you gotta be there, and I don't like judging, and personally I think that Hacksaw did what he needed to. He looked at a list of, what he thought was well or accurate and went from there. So I think I think he did a good job.
Well, from the sounds of it, the people didn't even really mind. They made their substitutions and everything was fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the onlookers. And then Sunday was the championships, which was really fun.
You skipped something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you skipped Saturday.
What happened to
the
love?
Oh, my God.
The big one, Five Horsemen.
Five Horsemen event. Awesome time. We have a winner in here, a costume award-winning
That's right.
champion.
That's right.
Joshua Salter with Gorman DeWolf.
DeWolf.
Look at you.
How about that?
You walked in, you're like, oh, there's no way I'm going to win anything.
I told dude, him, did I'm you like, see? He's going to win.
Well, see, okay, I saw the dude that from Atlanta who was the Temple Flame Guard guy and the other Gorman. Oh, my God, those costumes were so badass. Yeah, I mean, I think good. The pictures have been floating around, but holy crap, if either one of them were in there, they should have gotten gold
they
anyway.
They weren't on any team.
Yeah, they weren't on the team, and thankfully for me, because that got me a War Machine bag.
Nice,
which was supposed to be shipped last week, but it hasn't been shipped yet.
Ah.
So I'm squinting. I'm
sure they're just getting caught up from being a Gen Con and stuff, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Like everybody else.
Although I'm not going to lie, I would not have voted you number one. I definitely would have voted Fat Asian with the.
But it wasn't PP themed.
Doesn't matter. I didn't say it had to be.
Apparently,
yeah, we even had a scout trooper.
The judges apparently thought that. But that's. He was the. What's his name? I can't think of his name.
A little fat kid from Up.
From Up, the Asian. Oh, my God. He looked exactly like him. God damn it, Fat Asian, I love you.
He'd need to take off his glasses to look like him.
When my wife saw that picture, she's like, this is the best costume ever.
It really was.
I said the patches were even better up close.
Yeah, because the patches, he bought them all offline. They were all like funny little things.
It was like a Superman one. I was told there was like a farting one. And
there was one like internet surfing, and it had long legs of a lady. So, you know.
It was a YouTube badge.
Yeah.
I need that. That was excellent. And the Five Horsemen event was really fun.
Yeah, I had a good time.
Yeah, you guys had a good time?
Yeah, had a good time.
Yeah, I won every game.
Nice. I did not.
Neither did I.
Dave definitely did.
You guys let me down.
I won one.
I think I was misplaced in my spot.
Oh, you should have been number one.
I actually played against Fat Asian, which was awesome. He had Epic Fiora and another list. I think it was Testament. And I would have rather, I think, played my Krios list effectiveness-wise, but it was just funnier to play Epic Fiora. So we played Epic Fiora and Epic Fiora.
And
after a couple turns in, we messed something up. We forgot to like reset the clock. So we just set the clock aside. We're just like playing the game regularly. And it was hilarious. It was just a lot of fun. Everything was on fire at one point. I mean, it was just good times.
Yeah. And a lot of my games, we just didn't play with the clock. We were having fun and, it was a lot of fun. We had a blast.
My favorite thing that happened in that event was, Kavnik Joe under Epic Sorcia's feet with Ballast Charge one shot at a Scythian.
What? Not completely.
No. Yeah. Completely.
How is that possible? He's POW 15.
POW 15, three off. I rolled an 18. 15 points becomes 30 points. It only has 28. One shotted.
Oh, my God.
We both stopped and we're just like kind of awed by it. We're like, oh, my God. That was awesome.
For the motherland.
The best part was that it's like, now my Winter Guard have nothing to do. Because I figured it'd take both. I had like five or six Winter Guard left and him. I was like, I figured it'd take all of them.
Yeah.
And take it out.
Nope. Kovnik freaking Joe.
He's the man.
What a baller.
I didn't
realize that.
Yep. See, I also played against...
We played against the Prime Generation.
Played against Prime Generation. Played against Rick from Prime Generation.
Oh, you played Rick? I played Nick.
I played Nick and Rick. Quentin.
I played Big Lou. What's up, Big Lou?
That was a good game. I think that...
make him sound like a gangster.
Big Lou, yeah. He
never catch me alive.
Here in the ultimate gangster.
And I think a guy... I can't remember his name. I think it was Jamie, a guy from... one of the New Jersey team, the not the SOBs.
Yeah.
Who did we play second? I played Xander the first round, and I can't remember who I played second round.
That was the Iowa team.
The second round was Iowa team?
Yeah.
Shit, I don't remember who I played. Maybe it was it
Pink Monkey? I played that awesome Pink Retribution. You remember it?
Maybe it was Pink Monkey.
Yeah, I played against
Pink Monkey. Yeah, okay, I thought that was an Iron Arena game. What was that?
I played against that guy with the Pink Retribution in Hardcore.
That army is so beautiful. Man, I'm sorry I forget your name, but he is...
Yeah,
it is awesome. Sharp looking. That is super sharp. He was good too. It was awesome.
Yep.
He hit Eirisk in the face with a Dawn Guard. I was like, oh shit. He lived. And then the Kyazis were like, blah, blah, blah.
Many feet.
Right. It was a lot of fun.
You know, Pink Monkey's the one that always likes the singing, and we told him that if
always likes the singing.
Well, he likes our singing.
No, he doesn't.
He was the one who wanted. He said that if if I won the game, then we would go back and like do a song about the game.
Exactly, because he complained about the singing. He was the guy. Now, we talked to him. I thought we were going to do a musical.
Should we spoil email that we got?
Yeah. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave. What was it?
We had a request for a battle report that was done in the format of a musical.
I'm totally down
with that.
I'll start
right now. Lots of power balance.
Yeah, we're not sure how we're going to do it yet, but we're going to figure something out.
Pretty much queen in here.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's pretty sweet. But yeah, Five Horsemen was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
It was really cool. We met a lot of good people. We met a lot of good guys over the whole course of the weekend.
Meeting all the other podcasts. You know, all friendly competition aside for listeners or whatever. It was a lot of fun.
Another group that we met, and that was really cool. Well, we met again, I suppose, with White Moon Dreams. If you guys haven't seen that bonus episode that we had online.
That bonus episode.
Yeah, it was 97.
That bonus episode, I was only in the background, so it's bonus.
Sorry, you were there.
That's what made it awesome.
Oh, yeah, it was funny at the end. I was like, hey!
You came in literally like 5 seconds before we were about to shut everything up.
That was a great. I listened to that yesterday. Great episode. Yeah, those guys are great. I love talking with them, and hopefully we hear more from them through the Iron Agenda soon.
I was talking to Josh for a little while, and then they called up, and I was going to meet him and bring him up to the room to do a recording. Mm-hmm. But we had a maid service snafu, and so we had to wait in the room because all our recording gear was out, so maid service would come. So while they were downstairs eating in the Red Dragon Inn, I was hanging out with them and talking to them for a while. Mm-hmm. And then after we finished recording, we talked to him some more. And,
well, they stayed for an hour after they
recorded. Yeah, they showed Matt and I a whole montage on the iPad of all the photos they had. On the game, it was really cool.
They're really nice guys to talk
to. Yes, they are.
Then it's not like, you know, they just enjoy sharing stuff. They want to share more, I'm sure. But
he's so giddy. Oh my gosh, he's like, oh, I want to tell you about a game. Yeah. It's like every other word.
Josh and I did some volunteering and helping out this weekend with them. So then we got to go to the volunteer party, and they were there, and they showed the demo thing again, like on a close screen. There's only probably about 50 people watching this versus a huge room. That thing is awesome. That game is going
to
be amazing.
It looks cool, and you know what? And to be honest, it's not even polished yet.
No, not even close.
It's not. And it's
so,
just like, holy
cow. The fact that it looks pretty solid now, I mean, it'll be really cool.
Yeah. And we're told that they're supposed to have a video of a guy, Scott, playing through it again on their website. It hasn't happened yet, but they do have a lot of stills and lots of cool information up there. They redid the whole War Machine website portion of their website.
Right.
Nice.
So it looks really nice.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll get up soon, too.
Hopefully, yeah.
Because you've got the last minute.
That pissed me off so much. I put the wrong tape in my camcorder, did the entire presentation, had a really nice close shot. It was an old vacation tape. And so for the first 7 minutes of the playthrough, 7 of the 10 minutes, it's like every third of the screen has like an old frame from an old vacation film I took. It was really stupid, and I was so pissed at myself.
It was like the Cloverfield footage, but for War Machine video game.
Yeah, but anyway, there's actually a better video out there that somebody from some of the website Game something, I can't remember, but that's out there. I think I linked to it in a thread from last week. So, but eventually they'll get something up that everybody can see.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you off. No, it's fine.
A lot of Wrath spoilers, too. Over the weekend.
Yeah.
That's right.
From Wednesday on, there was tons of stuff.
The new Warcasters of all sorts, battle engines on 110mm bases.
Mm-hmm.
We won't really get into that right now, I think, but it definitely sounds interesting. And I don't want to knock it until I see it, but I'm not a big fan of 110mm bases.
Agreed.
It's a big base.
It's a really big base. So we'll see. Who knows? It's all speculation at this point, and we'll get more as we come in. Comes down the pipe.
So what else we got?
Do we want to talk about what we heard about the new Warcasters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you mean like the contest they had?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess it was a contest. It just ran through Gen Con, right? So it was So it sounded like it was actually for the people who weren't going to Gen Con.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
It was like, translate these snippets in IK text.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't remember what a lot of them are. Like, the Crix one was Scavarus, like a Lord Eximator guy, I think, is what they called him. Remember any other names?
The Protectorate one was Thyra... Vader sent me a translation.
Some sorrow flame.
Yeah, I think it's like Flame of Sorrow. And apparently it's a daughter type character. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
And she's probably a mother.
Yes, a mother of the flame.
She's mother something, I can tell you that probably.
And then you had the Kador guy who's the Iron Wolf. He
sounds like a jackcaster, an old school jackcaster.
He sounds like he's going to be, this from the tech stuff, he says he's going to be pretty adept at taking you down with the jack. So I'm excited to see him.
Then they said isn't the Signar one a Knight of the Prophet or something like that?
I thought it was a priest or something
priest,
like that. Yeah,
the Marowyn?
Marowyn, it sounds
sweet.
Like.
Yeah.
That would be sweet.
And there was a Merc
and
one.
And the Merc one was confirmed as a Steelhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and the Devil Squid finally got his wish. We can stop hearing all that.
And the Retribution one, Ozzy?
Ozzyan? Yeah,
Osgood?
It was called him Ozzy. Right.
Yeah.
Osgood?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Osborn. Yeah.
He's like a Charish name, Norman.
Yeah. Did they have much fluff on him? I can't remember. I think they don't know all of them, but I
not really. Not that I could get
anything. They all had titles of some kind.
Right.
He's like Lord Arcanus or something like that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
But was there anything about him that it said?
They probably did. I don't remember.
They all had like little paragraphs, but I didn't get to read them all.
Did you say anything about his house?
I think he's House Vire.
Oh, did it really?
That was confirmed, yeah.
Is that Gorshit's house?
Yes.
Ooh, but they're the Jack House.
They're the secondary jackhouse. Shail is like the.
They're one jack guys. Off.
Thank you.
Good Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
You just said jack. Stay off. Classy. That's what's funny.
Stay classy, St. Louis.
All right, but moving on, we interrupted you. You were talking about what, the finals?
No, yeah. I mean, no interruption. I was off on the.
You were off base, buddy.
Tangents.
I was off base.
Yeah, but did anything actually happen in the finals that's worth reporting?
Not really.
We were in the finals.
We?
Bam. Yeah,
we,
you. I represent the Iron Agenda.
You
I represent
did.
St. Louis.
There you go.
So I was able to, like I said, squeak by in the finals. So thank you, Jake and Chuck, who I ended up playing, both of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In the semifinals and finals. It was great. It was just a great experience, and I ended up winning. I ended up winning the championship, which was fun.
Now, can you explain the format about how the lists had to be played?
The format was so cool. Like, I think you can do this with any – I'm pretty sure you can do this with any tournament, and I think that this would be a really fun way to do it. You just bring as many lists as you have rounds, and so it's top 16, so it's four rounds to determine a winner. So we each brought four lists. There are 35 points. You can't use the same character, meaning you can't use an epic list and a regular list because it's the same person. So
now, not you mean caster only?
Correct.
Right. I mean,
you could use epic Arish in every list if you wanted to.
Correct.
Yeah.
Although there was no character that I used in all my lists. I didn't even use the War Dog in all my lists. Yeah, he didn't go with who didn't he go with? The Butcher. So it was a really cool format. So you bring four lists, and then my very first game, I was playing against Jeremy from Syracuse, great guy. Hand him my lists, and he hands me his, and then we have four lists to choose from to try to counter. But as each round goes on, each list is eliminated that you use. So in the finals, I was playing against Chuck, and our lists were already chosen for us. It was Sorcerer versus Epic Gorshade, so a lot of fun there. But I had some really fun matchups, Butcher versus Saren, classic kind of like trying to counter melee, but I had some good sneaky shooting in there too.
Didn't Jeremy say he might be a soon to be local?
Yeah,
potentially
yeah,
he might be moving to our area.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jeremy's.
Yeah, he was a real nice guy.
He might be in Kansas City or St. Louis. Who knows? He went to UMSL originally, but now he's in Syracuse. Then we've got then I had Strakov versus Epic Scar, and that was a good gameplay against Keith from Wisconsin. Then in the semis, I played against Jake, and after Keith and I's game ended, Jake and I, came up. We congratulated each other for winning. And I said, "What do you have left?" And he said, I think he said Veil and Epic Thagrosh. And I said, "Oh, I have Sorsha and Karchev." He goes, "If we play, we have to play Karchev versus Epic Thagrosh." And I agreed. And then we did. And so that was a really fun game. And I will say that it was a really great game, really close game. We each had like only a couple miles left at the end of the game. But I was able to kill Thagrosh with Eruption. So all you Karchev players who say that spell is not worth it, wins games.
Eruption. That's the irony to know where Eruption wins games.
That's right. And then in the finals, I played against Chuck. It was so funny because the entire weekend, I met Jake last year at Gen Con, maybe even 2 years ago, but only briefly, and we didn't really have a relationship or anything like that. And then at DICON, we kind of developed something.
They started dating.
Bromance. But no, we recognize each other as players, and we're like, oh, we still haven't played a tournament. And Chuck told me the same thing. We still haven't played a tournament. And then, we get to the finals, and it's like, oh, sweet, I get to play Jake. And then it was like, oh, sweet, I get to play Chuck. And it was just really great. And they're just such great guys. It just made playing the game so much easier. Played the game in the finals. Such a flip-flop game that I just couldn't even, it was just so ridiculous. He went first, ran up all his Banes and Deathjack and stuff like that. I went second, and I didn't get into my control zone because anything I got into my control zone was going to get owned by the Deathjack. So I left kind of like a semicircle around the control zone. Next turn, he moves up Black Ogryn, kind of commits to the control zone, gets a point. The following turn, I was able to counterpunch with Sorcerer's Feet, a whole bunch of sprays, Boundless Charge, Behemoth killing the Deathjack. And almost wiping out those Black Ogryn, I made an attack that was out of melee range. If I hadn't have done that, I would have wiped them all out, which would have been really big.
That would have left nothing to come back on the feet, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, the Banes. So which he can't really swap. So from there, though, he was able to really come back with a vengeance. Made a bunch of Black Ogryn out of Bane Thralls. Bane Thrall engages Behemoth. Gorshade charges and beats the crap out of the behemoth. Withershaw combine turn it into a Harrower. Harrower comes up and kills some stuff. Just really nasty play. And then
yeah, it was a behemoth.
It was a behemoth, yeah. So that was really great. And I knew at that point that I had to kill him or lose the game. So Joe went bear strength winter guard, killed a couple black ogre on the way. Cold Lord sneaks around the back, kills the rest of the black ogre and some of the winter guard. Sorsha gets a clean charge on Gorshade and is able to take his head. I wasn't really sure that she was going to be able to do it. However, I was confident that I was like, if I can get three boosted attack rolls with her, then I will be able to, then I'll be able to crit freeze him once. That's what my feeling was. I'm going to go in there, hope that, you know, it's a little worse than a 3-1. It's about 29.5%. But, you know, it's about 3-1. I'm going to go for that chance because at this point, it's all I've got. So I go up there, boost attack the first one, hits the charge attack, you know, gets boosted damage for free. Buy attack boost, and I crit. And that was huge because I had Eris and I had the Widowmaker Sniper. Both left. Widowmaker Marksman, he's 5 off the roll. I'm going to take a straight damage roll with him just because. And Eris is going to deal an auto 3. I thought Sorcerer would be able to get him low. And if, you know, if it was down to 4, at that point I could actually just snipe and then 3 and out of the game. So, you know, I was pretty confident in the fact that if I could get him down to 4, I would win if I could crit. So that was my goal. That was my game plan. And Sorcerer just ended up hacking his head off. So it was an awesome game and a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun to watch too. It was, brutal.
I think exemplified War Machine. I mean, we just went at each other. I mean, in the end, it was caster on caster, and we were in the middle of the board. Both of our casters were in the middle of the board. I mean, after I feeded, Sorsha wasn't even wind rushed. I was just up in the middle of the board, like hanging out, my army behind me. Like I was, you know, that was what I imagined, you know, what happened. She's got to step forward. She's got to freeze everything, and everyone kind of comes up behind her to clean up the mess. And that's what happened. And he went up with Epic Gorshade all creepily and turned, you know, Bane Thralls into monkeys. And, you know, after that, he was just able to control the board. Withershaw Combine getting off Dark Industries was absolutely disgusting. And, I thought he was going to be out on one of them, but he wasn't. And, that ended up almost losing me the game. So it was a great game. And, I commend Chuck for sure. I commend everyone who made it to the top 16. It was so cool to look around. I was like, most of these guys are the players that I would imagine being in the top 16.
And now? You have a War Machine weekend qualifier.
Now I have a qualifier, which is the most important thing of all because I was so mad when I lost the Matto, and now I've got it, and that's sweet. I'm excited to play in the War Machine weekend qualifier, and it's going to be awesome. That's really cool.
And yeah. You got a handmade trophy by Explosivo, did you not?
I did, yeah.
It looks pretty neat.
It's very neat. It lights up on both sides. It has Hordes on one side and War Machine Champion on the other. It's actually up at Miniature Market in the display case. It's a lot of fun. It's really cool to have.
You should have made it so that if you spun it really fast, you'd like see War Machine and Hordes.
Oh, jeez.
Now, did
don't
you
tell him that. He'll probably try that. I was just going to say, did you have more about that?
No, I was going to ask him, did you win a chance to qualify, or did you actually win a seat in the Invitational?
Seat in the Invitational.
Okay.
Seat in the Invitational. So that's good.
I was going to say, also, Explosivo, he won some painting awards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He won 2 silvers and a bronze,
yeah,
I think.
And then Legal Gun,
one of our locals.
Got a bronze coin.
Got a bronze coin for his Cyclone. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Dave, next year you got to enter something.
I'll try and not sleep in this time.
Dave was only partially sick, so I would say
it's right. I was impressed. For
Dave.
Yes.
Good job, Dave. Only partially sick. Probably only about 6 hours missed from the con
probably,
from
yeah.
sickness. So
actually,
pretty solid job.
The rest was from sleep.
Yeah.
Actually, the one thing that I think that helped me was I didn't try to do any early morning events. So, cause
I think your biggest early morning thing was when the White Moon Dreams thing. Wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably got about 14 collective hours of sleep throughout the entire weekend.
You did.
You
not
were
sleep
very
much.
Busy.
I was very busy, but man, I had a blast. I want to go back to the people cause that's what really makes Gen Con.
Yeah.
I just want to give a shout out to everyone, you know, really bonded with the Focus and Fury crew a lot. I've been talking with Beanish a lot ever since, what, April or something like that, maybe a little before, just on the phone or on GChat, and it's really great to get to hang out with him. I mean, we had a blast. We did so much stuff, and then a lot of the guys from the Focus and Fury crew, Tim and I went out with Nigel and Casey
and Stefan
at the end.
And wasn't Brian with them, too?
No.
We went to the Ram?
Was he there?
Yeah, he was there.
He was there for a moment.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun just hanging out with them. And really big shout out to those guys. Same with the guys from Boosted Damage. I know Jason, one of our locals, was able to get onto their team. They were just so, I mean, just to see them be so generous to him, they made him a shirt. And they were just so nice to us. They're so nice to everyone. They won Best Sport at the Focused in Fury event. Really great guys. And then just so many select few. So great, obviously, seeing the SOBs again, Norbert and Stubbs. Just
finally meeting them in person. That was awesome.
Yeah. You never
met them. That was like the best part for me.
Isn't Norbert just a trip?
They're so fun.
That was what I was looking forward to most out of everything, just meeting Stubbs and Norbert again, just hanging out with them. Because from last year, they were just so awesome.
I told them, I said, if you can make it to Indianapolis in August, you can make it to St. Louis in June.
Yeah. Well, we were talking to Norbert the very last day, and I don't know how much of a given it is, but it sounded like he was interested in coming to DieCon next year.
And I talked to the wife, and I said, if we have to entice them, I'd be willing to give up floor space or whatever. I stay over there because it's so close.
Well, I usually stay at my house, but I'm going to get a room next year, and I'll let anyone stay wherever. I'll even sleep
on the floor.
I
think we'll be able to entice them enough to get some people to come.
I hope so, because that'd be a lot of fun. And then, like, guys from Iowa, obviously Fat Asian.
God.
Love you so much.
I think we all do.
I think you're
so
the
fun.
New MVP of our podcast. Just really great meeting you guys. Fink Monkey, it was awesome talking with you, too. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of shit to shoot.
We also got to meet Bossheimer.
We meet Boss. I was playing a game.
I didn't meet Bossheimer.
Yes. I was playing a game, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I look over, and I see his name tag. I'm like, Bot, no, this was in the middle. We were in the thoroughfare.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I look over, I see his name tag, I go, you're Bossheimer! And I was like, yeah! So that was really cool. And then he watched me play this game in the Five Horsemen event. God, I got steamrolled by this one guy. It was really awesome. But he was just fine. I'd look over because the guy was rolling rather well. Not saying his play didn't let him win, but he was rolling insane. And I'd look over and Bossheimer's eyes would be so big looking at me because the guy's eyes were like sixes and fives only. It was really funny. So he was a great guy too. Great to meet you there and just everyone else.
I didn't get a chance to meet him. I didn't even hear he was there until the end.
Yeah, I didn't know he was there until right now.
We were riding back and I think you were asleep. And I said, oh, Bossheimer was awesome. And Dave's like, he was there?
Yeah.
Speaking of the ride back.
Before we go, I wanted to say one more thing. I played a guy named Jeremy. He'd written in a couple emails that we talked about. I think he just went by JLM in his emails. But, Tim and I both got to play him. Nice guy. Just another listener who made it a point to say hi, and we really appreciate that.
No, I'm not done talking about people.
Well, I'm not done either. I just mentioned one guy.
I just want to thank just everyone who just made it so great. I had so many people come up, and it was really funny. Like, I was on the side of the road, and this is actually the first time I met Fink Monkey, but I had, like, four people do it. It felt really cool, and I was just happy that I could connect with the community. But we're out first night at Gen Con, out really late. I'm on the sidewalk of the Ram talking with, Beanish and Stefan and Brian, and we're all hanging out, and like four people stop by, like, are you Jason? Because they just heard my voice because this nasally stupid voice of mine. And it was so cool to know that there's listeners out there and that we really appreciate it. And I know I told some people I would get a game with them. If I didn't get a game with you, I'm really sorry. Find me sometime. I promise I'll get out there and play you.
It goes for all of us.
I think I got that a lot because Thursday night I did the Iron Arena and played a lot of casual games. And there'd be people all around me and they were like, oh, you guys are from the Iron Agenda. Like they could recognize her voice and stuff. That was really cool. There, one of the things from the Iron Arena, I have a picture of it. I'm putting it up on my Facebook and I'll put it up on the Iron Agenda Facebook page. This girl that was playing her Legion, made and knitted a stuffed shredder that was, it was huge, but it was also a dice bag.
That's awesome.
And I told her that I'd give her a shout out and I gave her our card with the email address because I think she's wanting to try to make them to sell or whatever.
That'd be really cool. And then finally, of course, I was really disappointed. The thing I was disappointed most about the weekend, the thing I was disappointed most, say it a little slower.
Okay.
Sibilance.
I didn't get to see Z as much as I'd want to. Z and I have become, such great friends, and it was he was really busy.
Constantly
working for either PP or Weird.
Well, he had the rune on his forehead the whole time, so they had him under their spell.
I mean, just seeing those guys from Atlanta in general, Eric Webster, Casey.
Casey cracks me up.
Casey's great.
I played his, I think it was his brother-in-law. George, I think his name was. Yep, remember right? Yeah, I played him. George, he was a really nice guy.
I liked his t-shirt he had.
What is that? Boobies make me smile?
Boobies make me smile. I had a big smiley
and
face
Casey
on
Casey had sweet t-shirts too. He had the Kid Icarus and the Golden Axe.
Eggplant Wizard also?
Yeah. Isn't that Kid Icarus?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand you.
Yeah, and then he had the Golden Axe t-shirt too. So that was cool. And I could go on forever, but just awesome. Awesome all around. Also, I'm going to give a shout to the Master of Limericks from Syracuse. Did you hear his thing, his limerick? He wrote Jeremy and I one too. Those guys from Syracuse were also great. I could go on forever, but I'll stop there. It was just a great time.
Apparently, I look like Steve from GW. Chris Alvin told me that we got our picture taken for some little Twitter thing. I don't know who Steve is either, but apparently he's from GW and I look just like him.
I got mistaken for Hacksaw 3 times.
I can see that. I can see that.
Oh, you know what? That's another point. I'm just giving a shout out to Hacksaw.
He was awesome.
Lots of questionable things happened throughout the weekend, whether it be a player or a judge ruling. But you know what? I think he stuck to his guns, which in my opinion, no matter what he said, is most important in judging. And he didn't let crap get out. My favorite part about Hacksaw is if he came over to a table and he saw something fishy and he wanted to point it out to them, instead of pointing it out to them, he would yell it and everyone around them would know, like that, you know, what's going on. I also loved his strictness on bendy tape measures. I hate when people bend tape measures.
When they do like the triple S.
Yeah.
Say, oh my God. And then they ended up moving like 3 inches farther than they're supposed to.
Yeah. It's like unbelievable. And then he was like, you know, he was handing out warnings for that shit.
He was very consistent.
Very consistent.
Which is very important.
You know, whether or not, you know, things happen that may have disappointed some people or not. I think in the end, just consistency was key. And I appreciate you running just a really tight ship. Gen Con usually runs a little bit later than they want to. I'm pretty sure every event ran earlier than it was supposed to. So great job.
Kudos. Kudos.
And Privateer Press, I really hope I can see you next year, Gen Con, because I certainly didn't see you in the gaming hall.
Didn't see what?
I feel the same way, too. But they were there occasionally, but they didn't seem to have the presence.
But it was awesome. Gen Con was great.
It was a good time.
Yep.
Up next, War Machine Weekend.
War Machine Weekend, guys. If you guys aren't registered for War Machine Weekend, check it out. They've got, you know, a Facebook page. They've got a website. Just type in War Machine Weekend in Google. You can find it. I don't want to give something out that may or may not be the right address, but we're definitely gonna have some links up soon. I know that we're the official podcast of War Machine Weekend.
We've been that way for like 2 years now.
Oh, absolutely. And Clutch has something quite big on his hands. This is gonna be more prize support than ever. It's just going to be thousands of dollars of stuff just handed out.
And it's not just the Invitational either. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the Invitational. I saw something on the forums. It was a while ago, but somebody was wondering if the whole con was invitation only. And it's not. It's an open con.
Yeah.
There is a single invitation event, but even while that's running, there's another general event, and there's general events all weekend.
You can even qualify for the Invitational at War Machine Weekend.
Right. That's correct.
On Friday.
So I don't know if I could say it enough. War Machine Weekend's awesome. Every event gives away an army of that point size. That's ridiculous and unheard of, but it happens every year at War Machine Weekend. It's going to be awesome. We've got, you know, it's in a hotel. The hotel room rates are cheap, and it's awesome, and you know, definitely check it out there. I know we'll all be there.
And how about this? You know who else might be there?
Who?
Scott Campbell and Kevin Mack from White Moon Dreams.
Yeah, we were talking
to them at the volunteer party, and it may be because Scott was drunk, but they said that they were going to seriously consider it. We have to set things up with their office manager, but They very well may be there.
That'd be cool, and you know, I know there's a lot of great people that are going to be there. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes. Carl also said that he has the hookup, and there might be karaoke Saturday night.
Oh!
With a special achievement just for that.
That's Bon Jovi.
A reason not to go to War Machine Weekend. Awesome.
Nope, that is awesome. If your wife was there, she would go, because she loves karaoke.
Karaoke, the ancient Japanese art.
Ooh, thank you.
But actually, rewind a little bit, give another shout-out to Z. The volunteer party, he gave me quite the gift.
A pair
of CDs, Captain Dan and the Scurvy Crew.
That's right.
Listened to it on the way back, and I've been listening to it in my car ever since. It's awesome, awesome stuff.
I'm going to give another shout-out to Casey, because the very first day I was there, he gave me some random-ass dice from Japan.
Oh, yeah?
And they had really funny quotes on the outside of them. Oh, I got to bring them back.
Were they in English or something?
It was horrible English.
It was really bad. It was bad English, actually. And it was not really the band either. Hey-o. It was very funny. It was an excellent time.
All right. Okay, so while we're at Gen Con talking to all the great people, awesome people we talked to, there were some people who were curious to hear about Jason's lists that he ran in the finals, the 35-point, four rounds, four lists. So, I mean, we probably don't have time to cover them all in detail. We normally do lists, but I'd like to hear, you know, some of Jason's thoughts on building his lists and what particularly was in them and, like, what the main goal of Minimar. What was like the one thing you were trying to do or the one thing you're trying to stop?
Sure. List design, when you're building four lists for one tournament, knowing that you can never play the same one again, you really want to make sure you have all your bases covered. I want to make sure that I had lists that could, I think the one true theme to my list is that they could all control the board while being able to not only accept a counterpunch or a jam, but be able to assassinate if the time was right. I'm pretty sure that's the only thing that's consistent between all of my lists. I don't know if you guys play at Gen Con, but it seems like one true truism, and I don't know if you guys will agree with me, but the jam is the most popular thing to do in the meta right now.
I think that's because of how the scenarios are set up.
And I do too. I think it does fit, and it definitely, you know, puts your, you want to put your opponent on your heels. And I think one of Cotter's strengths is actually dealing with the jam. They deal with it better than anyone, in my opinion. And whether it's Winter Guard or just high mat models with high pow, I mean, if they're jamming Jax, you can take down Jax and Cotter. So you've got all these options. I'll talk about my original lists that I came there with. I came there with that Karchev and that Sorcha list. Karchev, man, is he tough to deal with at 35 points. I mean, I hate people who camp on their focus, but I'm playing against Epic Thagrosh, and I was kind of just daring him to get in there, because you can get 6 focus with Karchev, putting up to armor 25. I mean, you could just and I was asking for Epic Thagrosh to come in, and we did a little dance. When I would spend focus, I would kind of move back a little bit and staying in my control zone, but you know, we both knew each other's threat ranges, and once I took out the Seraph, finally, the Seraph and the Great Bears had the most ridiculous battle. Seraph would, like, kill the Great Bear, and then the Great Bear would not get knocked down, and the Great Bear would miss twice, and once I'd hit, but I wouldn't deal much damage, and it just took a really long time to kill a Seraph in the semifinals. However, the Karchev list really, really could take all comers. Actually, that's not true. I said that there was something on all my lists. That's a lie. The Great Bears were in all of my lists. They are absolutely fantastic, and they're an example of that anti-jam unit. They're 5 points. They're for 6 attacks. Mad 8, Pal 12 Weapon Master. They choose Column on Jax. They have a great threat range, and they charge across Rough Terrain. Very excellent unit, and I did use them in every army. I think they're probably... I think they actually may be better than Winter Guard. I'm not sure yet. But that they may be the best unit in Cotter. It's very tough. It's very tough because the Winter Guard is so versatile, but the fact that they can literally kill anything is very nice too.
They're an extremely solid unit.
Yeah, all those character units right now are even great. I even think Rovan's awesome. I don't want to get into it too much, but he's a little underestimated right now, in my opinion. So we've got that. So definitely dealing with the jam is the first thing I thought of, and I think the Karchev list deals with it. It featured Winter Guard with Joe, as well as Epic Eris for knocking off annoying upkeeps. Usually she can stand still and shoot a unit like a Daughters of the Flame with Protection Menoth on them. You can usually stand still and still hit those kind of units. So it's a gamble for sure, but you can hit up to defense 18 on an expected value of 7 with Eris to take those kind of things off, and then Winter Guard can usually clean up.
Winter Guard are great anti-jam, just because of the fact
they're the best. Oh my god!
They have the CRA if they need it, but they also have the sprays, which just with Cosmic Joe boosted sprays, it's just going to erase infantry from the table. This is what always happens.
And when you see the Winter Guard, don't be stupid and don't do this. They jam down your face, and then the Winter Guard get to stand still and shoot. You think I care about the Winter Guard you're engaging? You're wrong, because they will all die, but your entire unit will be dead, and I'll only lose like 3 or 4 Winter Guard, and I have. 13,
yeah, being in melee is not 15. A defense to that anymore.
And remember, every single Winter Guard model in that unit has the full kit. The Rocketeer has a blunderbuss. The fucking Standard Bearer has a blunderbuss.
Everything.
Everyone is terrifying, and they're all great at it. So don't try to jam up their face, because they're just going to get you. Make them move at least. You know, if you have got high defense, make that to your advantage. Don't jam the Winter Guard. Move over there so the Winter Guard kind of have to wrap around, and then you're messing with my formations. I think that's the best option. Plus, you can catch the Winter Guard on their flank from that point. If you have sprays or anything like that, you can deal with it from there. Karchev featured the Winter Guard, not full Winter Guard stand. It was min unit, UA, and 2 rockets, I think is what it was, plus Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Really strong combination. I don't think you need the max unit. I didn't bring it in a couple of my lists, but it's very strong. Then you've got, the Great Bears. I ran, with Karchev, I ran Bisonai and Drago because of their high mat, and they both can run for free. And to me, that's the reason I bring them, because running for free is huge. You can bring the Kodiak instead of Drago, but Drago's got an awesome critical. It's very good at taking out the Avatar Shield, which is one of the most seen opponents for them. So I was able to meta kind of thinking, taking off shields. A lot of
Or weapons, too. I mean, even...
Yeah, or
even
weapons. If you of course, that's a bonus. Everyone's got a weapon.
If you can't kill a Jack, stripping that weapon from it, I mean, especially with your armor. What's the armor on Drago? It's 19,
it's only
right? 18.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a -1 die of damage to every roll. That's huge.
And that is big, but Drago really wants the kill. He's very bloodthirsty.
It's the Mant 7 that puts him over the top.
Yeah, and
the
charge for free. So you charge for free. You get in there with 3 attacks. If I can hit you on the charge, if I can get that shield to the Avatar, I'm taking 2 more attacks, because he has one more attack and then a chain attack to be able to take it off. And I'm not worried about putting focus on him. I'll blow him up if I need to, especially against protectorate players with the slingshot with toe. I'll blow that son of a bitch up. I'll kill like 15 points of support models. You know, it's an 8-inch AoE because it's 3 inches of all of the sides. So it's quite a large AoE, auto-hitting POW 14. People are always worried about the blow-up. I'm not worried about it. So that's pretty much my Karchev list. It worked really well. Fissure is stupid good now. It knocks you down. It's a 10-inch spray. Why not?
Yeah.
From that point on, I brought the Sorsha list, which we already kind of talked about. Don't really need to go into too much detail. Typical Sorsha, freeze stuff, kill infantry with Winter Guard, Great Bears take out heavy stuff, Behemoth shoots things on the advance alongside rockets, and then, of course, Behemoth. You feel really good when you're auto-hitting with the Behemoth. So you've got Tempest, you've got your feet, you've got crit freeze, you've got that one spell that's four, you know, costs four. That's my favorite spell. What's it called?
Freezing grip.
Yeah. Oh my god, that spell's stupid. People like will bunch a whole big ass unit up, and I'll be like, freezing grip, and then she's just protected from everything because that unit's in the way. So they'll try to kill their own unit, but as long as they don't have a lot of sprays, they really can't do too much. So that's excellent, and I like that a lot. So Sorsha, pretty straightforward. People say she's weak. I don't know why. The feat's the same. I bring regular Eris. I hit a Warcaster. You know, it's going to drop them. It's going to drop all their focus. It's going to be awesome. And you're going to time walk, and you're going to do old Sorsha. I guess Horde's not as strong. However, I use the feat to kill the beasts. So freeze them and make it really easy to hit. Take out the beasts and then just neuter them from the backside. You don't need to kill their infantry. If you can get to their beast, the infantry will still be frozen. So just don't worry about the caster. Don't worry about the infantry. Just kill the beasts. From there, I brought the Butcher list. This is probably my favorite list. It didn't include a War Dog, which is really interesting because I think he's such a great model, but my points were so tight that it was rough. It had a really interesting versatility, and I know my opponent, Jeremy, who's a great player, saw Cawdor, and he saw so much melee that he brought the Saren list because it's a great counter. You know, that now that affects the battle group, it's really easy to use and pretty nasty in general. He ran a Tenacity'd respawn angel up alongside a Carnivian and a Scythian. Well, what I was able to do is I was able to hit the Angelius with Eris, which now takes off Animi as well. So there goes Tenacity, there goes respawn.
Right.
Pop Butcher's feet for additional die of damage. Stand still with my Winter Guard rifle core. Joe gives a boosted attack rolls. Matt Rat 7 boosted attacks. I'm gonna hit most of my attacks. And then I'm rolling boosted 3 dice damage. You know, on average, you're going to do unexpected value. You're going to deal about 30 damage to the angel. Pretty sure it has 26 boxes, maybe 27.
Somewhere around there. It's less than the Carnivian, but yeah, it only has 17 armor.
And 17 armor. So, you know,
that's straight dice on a POW 10 normally. So the boosted die gives it an extra 3. Yeah. So each guy's doing 3 points to it.
And that's on the low end of average, calling it right. 10, which I always do because I can't roll 11. So, it's really nice to have that. And so from there, he was kind of neutered. And then I also had Iron-Fleshed Kyazis in the way. So it was really difficult for him to deal with Saren. Blightbringer's in the only way, but he was kind of far back because he wanted to protect himself from me feeding and doing the same thing to Saren.
Right.
So she wasn't able to Blightbringer until the turn later to kill all those Kyazis. But that turn, Great Bears got in there, killed Carnivian. Scythian had a little bit life left on, but from there, just a whittle. So in that list, I was running Kyazis, who were just stupid with him. Mini feet and big feet equals dead caster with Matt 9 and gang. Also, Iron Flesh Kyazis are dumb. Full Winter Guard rifle core with Joe. And then my jack choice was I ran a Berserker and a Juggernaut. Two of the most maligned jacks in Cawdor. But we've got full throttle on the Butcher. If they need to get in there, I've got a Matt 6 boosteds. I've got Matt 5 boosteds. Free charge from the Berserker. I can give him focus to blow up if I want to. They're just excellent jacks, and he really makes them shine. I'm tired of seeing only character jacks, even though I know I brought a lot, because I have an application for almost every one of my jacks, and I think that the Juggernaut is just so awesome for 7 points. He's got POW 19 with crit freeze. That's just nasty, especially when you get all boosted attack rolls.
It's a really solid jack. I mean, it's underestimated because of you have Beast 09, but
right. There
it's
are other
4 points more. Beast 09 doesn't do that much more. Reach is huge. Matt 7's big, but with a caster like Butcher, I prefer the Juggernaut because it's 4 points more. It's almost the price of the Berserker. And the Berserker is another arm 18, 30, 33 boxes. So, or 30, 31 boxes. So
yeah. I also like the Butcher with the rifle cork, like you talked about, especially with Joe, because they're accurate and they hit hard. That's a really great combination.
Yeah, after seeing you run the rifle cork, I haven't gotten them yet, but I plan on it.
Yeah, they're Nigel runs them to perfection with Vlad. I know he's got a really annoying Vlad list because Signs of Importance just makes him stupid.
Signs of Importance and Joe.
Yep. And then my final list I ran due to comfort. I've been playing Strakov a lot, practicing in hardcore. I've done really well in hardcores with him. I really like his ability to really mess up a lot of the feats that are pretty dangerous. And I personally think I got a decent matchup with Iskar. Playing against Keith, who's obviously a great player. He beat the crap out of me at Daikon when I was running Epic Madrak versus Epic Asphyxius. Pretty hard matchup for Epic Madrak to overcome. But this time I think that Epic Scar, although her feat allows you not to be attacked, I think that Strakov can beat the crap out of that with a couple of tricks. Her ability to move up and hop on you with her feet and then not be able to attack in one round and then go another round is actually discounted a little bit, because if you don't feed early, I'm going to pop my feet and trash your jacks. Or you do feed, and then I can stay outside of the threat range. A couple of perditions can get like the Deathjack or Nightmare on the caster, but I made sure that I had either a lot of stealth models. Like the Deathjack went to perdition, and he ended up getting pulled a little too far from my caster. Or something like Fenris, who can't even be targeted by attacks. I jammed him in a counterattack to a Satixis jam, getting them in there, making things, you know, make things possibly run away. Obviously, Satixis are fearless, but they've, you know, he had, you know, other things that possibly could. He's also got high mat, a lot of wounds, and he has that disparity with Dragoons that after, if you get to that last box, no matter how much more damage you deal, they still come on back foot, or they come get on foot with five. I like that a lot. And then he's got tough to boot, so he's going to stay around for a while. He's really annoying. Strakov list, really simple. It was like my hardcore list, but just taken down a little bit. I only ran one Jack and I ran Beast, because generally with superiority, he's amazing, although he sucked really bad against the Death Jack. He just sucks at killing character Jacks, I think, this week.
Just through luck of dice rolls. I mean, he's got the stats for it.
Oh, yeah, the stats were there. I just couldn't hit the crap out of it.
And Matt 9, you should be able to hit. Yeah. Every swing should hit.
But I missed. So you got that. I had that in there. Both Dragoons. The Dracoon was huge. Totally denying a flank, a counter charge, and then also just absolute chicanery. When you stick him on the far flank and you move up, pop feet with Strakov, he can charge into his control area with +4 speed and Pathfinder, because the way the feet works is it's all about charging models in the control area. The model does not have to be in your control area. So I was able to get a really cool attack with that. For example, I impact attacked with the Deathjack, and Scar was admonitioned, but I was like, oh, Scar's in melee range. I'm not done moving yet because it's an impact attack, so she still gets attacked. So I was able to hit her, take a few more life off of her, and then she admonitioned away, and then I hit the Deathjack with him. So that was pretty fun. Great Bears, of course, also stupid. 15-inch threat range with the feet, really nasty. I ran a minion of Kyazes with Underboss. You don't really need more. War actually just becomes a liability and a waste of 3 points. Then War Dog.
I don't know. I think a full Kyazes is good. I mean, maybe not at 35 because of the points.
My hardcore list is pretty tight, though. I really like the second Jack with him. He makes Jacks great with Overrun. So there's 10 points. Man, I only have 5 more points.
That's true.
I could devote 3 of that to Kyazes, but I only got 2. I really like Harlan Versh. I bring him a lot. He also has stealth and can't be targeted by spells. Another thing that could play hoses Scar. And then you've got I love Reinhold with Strakov. There's a lot of feat scenarios that I've played out where I need that focus to be able to make sure that I can hit, but I don't have it. So I give him the lucky die, and he's able to get in there with Matt 7, lucky die, usually kill a trooper. And then also the extra shot. He's got D3 gunshots already. If you get lucky and roll a 4, you could kill a caster. It's range 10, power 12, you know, you could kill a caster. Or I double cinder bombed against some Praetorians in my match against Watts, and that just cleared out a whole bunch of Praetorians and put Cloudfex down. So that was pretty much a wrap up my lists and my thoughts going into them. I thought it was a really good list for all comers.
Did you take any of those lists to specifically counter a type of list, or were they all just things that you wanted to be able to do yourself?
I end up playing Karchev in not ideal conditions, but there's some lists where like the hardest thing they have is like a POW 11 Weapon Master,
mm-hmm.
and Karchev will just eat those alive. Unfortunately, I had to go against Epic Fatgrass, who makes everything ridiculous. He ran a bunch of shredders, too. Luckily, the Winter Guard are very accurate. It could really just pop shot those shredders, even on the feed turn, if they ate a bunch of them. It didn't really matter. I wouldn't say I brought anything. I didn't really meta too hard. My metaing came in the fact that I knew I wanted to counter jam lists, and I wanted to be able to present situations that were very difficult. None of those... Strakow is probably the easiest to kill casters out of all of those people, because Butcher has Iron Flesh and high armor in a lot of boxes. Sorsha can Wind Rush, and Karchev's Karchev. So, and Strakov is a 15-16 with Wardog up to 17 in melee, and he can stealth himself. So, I mean, this is still not an easy caster to kill.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I presented scenarios that were difficult. I never felt like my caster was in danger except for in the last game, and even then, I never even got attacked. I am fairly confident that none of my casters were ever damaged throughout the entire finals. Yeah, they weren't. So I think that I was able to really use Kador's strength in manipulation, whether it be, augmenting essentially, whether it be helping the troops out a lot with a feat, helping the jacks out with a feat or abilities, or just having great stats, high armor, high boxes. So it was pretty good. So that's kind of my wrap up. It was obviously a great time. I was very fortunate to get into the finals. Even though I was very unfortunate, I felt, in both 35 and hardcore. But you can't complain about dice rolls. Or if a ruling comes up and one person thinks one thing and one person thinks another, it's not always going to be set in stone, and we like it to be, but it doesn't always work like that. So, it was a lot of fun, and I think, I was able to get there and then play my best to get through. I really didn't have a luck throughout the entire weekend, but I had very solid rolling in the finals. Expected value, which is all you can really ask for. And it was really great. And at that point, I was making the right move and rolling well enough, average enough, essentially, to be able to, do what I needed to do.
Did the Flanzer principle ever come into effect for you?
It did, actually. There was, in the finals, there was a couple times where, I was really worried about losing. So because of that, I just went ahead and won. I didn't have to worry about losing anymore. No, but seriously, especially in the finals against Chuck, you guys saw it. The game flip-flopped so hard, he got the control point winning. I came back and smashed like half his army. Now all of a sudden he has a Harrower now and I don't have a Behemoth. It's a 23-point swing. So, I definitely need to, get in there and make attacks and, finish it off. I was confident in the dice and what I would expect, and I was fortunate getting a critical on my second attack. And at that point, I knew that, when I saw it and I saw my opportunity, I was going to take it. I was going to do the best that I can. Everyone's like, 30% chance, it's going to happen one of three times, so your third attack will do it. Well, it could be my first attack. Could be never. Mm-hmm. I could do it 20 times. I could not get it. But that's what a critical is about in War Machine, and you can't count on it, but sometimes you need to, it's like tough. You can't count on it, but you can expect it every so often. You can only that's the best you can do. And I went with the mentality that it's better to take a chance than, and play aggressive rather than sit back, get whittled down. Or, I could have sat back with the Behemoth. He would have never gotten that. However, the Deathjack would still be alive. I could have probably dropped it by half. I could have killed the Black Ogre with the Behemoth and then had the Great Bears charge it. But I'm not confident the Great Bears would have wrecked the Deathjack. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew the Behemoth would.
With armor piercing and auto hitting.
Auto hitting armor piercing attacks, it's pretty much a guarantee. So I went with that, and I went with my gut. And I think that is a key. If I give anyone any advice other than, if you're afraid about losing, just win. You don't have to worry about losing anymore. Other than that, go with your gut. I see so many people sit there and guess. I was talking to two guys at the store the other day. One guy who was like, I want to play faster. So, he was watching. I was watching him play, and he would just waffle. You got to play so you can learn. If you make the decisions, you think about them. But if you make the decisions, you'll understand if it's the right one or the wrong one. And later on, you'll know. If you sit here and second guess yourself, you're just going to you're just gonna get wrecked.
Josh, didn't we come up with an addendum to the
corollary to it, but I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember what it was either.
What did you say that it was? It's true because of why? Just because it is?
It's a tautology. That's what that means.
Tautology.
It is tautological.
Tautological. I like that word.
It's a good word.
I'm going to get a shirt that's going to say tautological. Show me your tautologicals.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but there was a corollary to it, but I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember what it was. We'll have to think about it and try to come up with it.
Yeah. But essentially, and then someone told me, oh, that didn't work. They came up to me and told me that didn't work.
Well, they didn't do it right.
I could have said that, or I could have said, only one person can win a game. And both people think this same exact thing.
This is the corollary.
Yeah.
Only the person who wants it more can win.
Yeah, this was related to the corollary, yeah.
Whether that if two people think it, what happens?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I mean, I think that winning doesn't actually mean win the game. I think that winning actually means getting out there and doing what it takes to win the game. It seems a little...
It's convenient, isn't it?
It is convenient, but I truly think that. I think that people say that people are lucky, right? I always talked about a good friend of ours, Viking, Mark, motherfucker, I swear to God, he would spray Ion and Holt on a hill, you know, and I'd be like, you need boxcars. And he'd roll boxcars, and then I'd get really mad at him. But I realized that he would put himself in a position to have a chance. And if you don't do that, it'll never happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can never kill Ion and Holt on a hill if you don't attack
him. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And I think that's really the key about the saying. I think it's about putting yourself in the position to win. And you know what? Sometimes that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it happens more often than you think it will because you weren't actually confident in yourself. So that's my opinion on that saying. And I think it applies to a lot.
But
that was deep.
It applies to a lot.
That is the Art of War Machine by Jason.
Oh, my God. The Art of War Machine. Writing it.
Oh, God.
Sorry that my nose is so nasally, by the way, guys. Yesterday I was like sneezing blood. It was not good.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
It's fantastic.
Thanks for listening. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I watched a Goofy movie.
Did you?
Yeah.
The Goofy movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
So.
No, that was Scott Bakula.
Okay.
Goofy was Scott Bakula?
No, he said, oh, boy. Quantum Leap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard something, maybe it was from San Diego Comic-Con, where he said that they're talking about doing a Quantum Leap movie with him and...
A movie? I don't know if I'd like the movie. With Dean Anderson, or not Dean Anderson.
All I know is I need a Rosheth tier list ready for next week. Next week, I will be reporting on my game with a Rosheth tier 4 list at 50 points. A guy said that Rosheth sucks. I called him out. We're going to see how it goes. I don't know what he's playing.
Who called you out?
Brad.
Oh, really?
Yep.
What's he going to play?
I don't know.
Oh.
All I know is the Gatorman will feast. Do they have stacking?
I don't remember. They might. Might be one of their abilities.
It might be one of their bad jujus.
Bad juju. They have terror and plus one defense. That's pretty sweet.
But not armor.
Not armor. They get plus two armor, actually, while in combat.
And if you beat him, are you going to say, you just got flansered?
Oh, I may. No, actually, if he does something that's kind of... That is... If he does something and I call him out on it and it ends up being right, even though his intent was another way, that's getting flanged.
All right.
It's a side.
Let's not go into that.
We're not going to go into
chapter
that.
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, The Art of War Machine.
So.
Chewing your opponents.
God. Jesus.
Goodbye, everybody.
God damn it. All right. So, yeah, that was our Gen Con coverage, as it were.
As it were.
Congratulations again to Jason.
Yes, congrats.
On winning.
Thank you.
I was so excited. Then we got in the car driving home, and I was like, oh, shit. And they're like, what? I'm like, we're going to have to hear Jason talk about this forever now.
No, you know what, though? I don't think I'm going to talk about it. And you know what I think is even
better?
You're
going to be modest?
Well, I think I will be modest, but you know what's even better, though?
Damn it, I'm modest and humble.
Humble pie.
So here's the thing. I'm so happy I won for one reason, because it totally gets 2 years ago off my back, and I really... Mm-hmm. It's been haunting me for a long time when I got second 2 years ago, especially because it was from some shenanigans. But, you know, now that I have this, I was pretty happy. So,
very cool.
Well, thank you guys. Really appreciate it. And thanks for being there with me and helping me out, obviously. You know,
I was like, I'm going to pass out, but we can't leave.
Yeah, we're going to leave. Jason... ready to go. And we're like, we can't leave him by himself.
If Jason wins, we're not here.
I know. And a lot of people stayed for me. I thank you guys. Whoever you were, I really appreciate it. And, and the support was excellent. Remember that day we made my Strakov hardcore list?
I remember the day you never finished making it because you kept going back and forth on it.
But I remember you guys were like, you won't have it ready, blah, blah. Just 2 weeks. You
were basing it the day of.
The glue on Fenris was wet. But that was a great accelerant. Well, Thanks a lot, guys, and see you next time on the agenda.
Yep. Next time, well, actually,
wait, we got one more thing to say.
No, we have two more. We now have the Scorn book just got released. We're actually considering just like not doing a Primal Mark II episode, just moving on to the Scorn book because, you know, well, now the books are going to start coming out, and we actually have some backlog of email topics that people want us to talk about. So,
if you desperately want Primal Mark II,
shoot us an email. Otherwise, they'll kind of be rolled into the faction books. But let us know what your thoughts are on that, or if you have something specifically you want to hear. Like I said, there are a couple of emails, outstanding topics. We apologize we haven't gotten to them yet, but Gen Con just kind of screwed our schedule as far as getting to some of the things we wanted to.
We do have something else to say.
We do have one more thing. We need to call somebody out on being not fulfilling their potential.
So after hanging out with you know, these guys, from the Focus and Fury, I don't know if you listen to their podcast. I'm not going to lie. I do. I'm a fan. It's always good to hear what everyone else is talking about.
Right.
At the end of every episode, they have what's called a TB, also known as the Turd Burglar. It's essentially who's a douchebag or, you know, someone who doesn't
It's virtual dunce cap.
Yeah.
Essentially dunce cap, but I like saying douchebag because they're douchebags.
And we decided that because Beanish, who had qualified
for the championships,
decided that he was too tired after the Five Horsemen, and
he wasn't too tired to go out and play Are You a Werewolf?
No,
yeah, he played until like five.
He wanted to go play Are You a Werewolf.
What a douche!
Kind of looks like one with his beard.
Instead of getting up
and playing in the championships, he bowed out and gave up his spot. So we gotta. He's not living up to his potential as a War Machine gamer.
And for all the times that he's like, oh, national meta, I got to see how I stack up. And then he goes, well, I know I made it to the championship, so that must be good. It's like, no, screw you. You didn't play it. You suck. got in because your Withershaw Combine turned a Stormclad into a Harrower and it flipped the points of the game. So get out of here. You're fired. There you go. True. That's all I got to say.
I was just disappointed we didn't get to see Green Man.
Bring it.
What? Green Man?
I'm disappointed we didn't get to see Green Man.
I'm not disappointed at all.
So,
he's going to have to bring his game at War Machine Weekend.
He is going to have to.
I mean, right now, all he is Rudy.
Oh, Rudy. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2010 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided by Joshua Salter. Iron Agenda is affiliated with Spooky Outhouse Productions. For more podcasts, visit www.spookyouthouse.com.